Hi, everybody. This is Ruby Rider. Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pagan Paradise podcast number 91 on October 4th, 2014. Oh, my God. I have news for you all. This is so freaking exciting. I can't wait to share the news with you. I am honored to join the esteemed ranks of my fellow sex educators because I just got my very first piece of hate mail. It's so freaking exciting. It's awesome. And it's particularly awesome in the form that it took. So I go to my mailbox and I live with other people, one of whom gets a fair amount of packages. So I thought the package was for that person because I knew I hadn't sent away for anything. But the package had my name on it. And not even my real name, but Ruby Rider, right? Because y'all know that's not my real name, right? So that was a surprise. And so I opened it up, and what was inside looked like a lump of dirt, kind of, mixed with water with a little bit of grass and stuff in it, okay? And then there was a little label on it that said elephant poop. And then there was a website that said www.poopsenders.com, right? So this was a little interesting. It's a very interesting form of hate mail, goodness. I have a fair number of rose bushes on my property, and there's a couple of them that really aren't doing very well at all. So I was quite happy to have that to put on at the base of one of my rose bushes, first of all. And I kind of knew this was coming. I mean, I think it's definitely a sign that I'm doing something right, because it's impossible to know who I offended. It's actually even impossible for me to know how they got my home address. That was a rather interesting feat. It could be anybody. It could be for anything. I'm assuming it has to do with my role as a sex educator, but who knows? But the funniest thing, here's the funniest thing about the whole experience. Well, first of all, also, let me mention that I really am serious about I am joining the esteemed ranks, because when you start rocking the boat, when you start getting your name out there, inevitably you're going to find people who disagree with you and who give you hate mail. I mean, goodness, Dan Savage gets death threats. Now, I'm not looking for those, just in case anybody out there is really unhappy with me. And if you are out there and unhappy with me, I can't imagine why you would ever be listening to this podcast. Of course, if you're the sender of this lovely present, perhaps you're waiting for a reaction. And I did the happy dance. The people in my household, one person said, well, obviously you're doing something right. And the other person jumped up and down and celebrated and said, that's awesome. So I was leaving later on in the day to go somewhere else, and I took that package, and I went by my rose bushes and stopped on my way out and opened up the Ziploc baggie and put it at the base of the saddest-looking rose bush that has just struggled ever since I moved into this house, and that was going to be that. Now, did I very carefully, nose about a foot away, take a little sniff to see if that was actually shit? Sure I did. Of course I did. And you know what? There wasn't any scent at all. Like at all? And that was interesting. So I went and did my errand. I came back and I researched it, because I'm a research bitch, man. I like me some research. I wanted to find out about this website and find out what the deal was. So according to the website, whoever sent me this spent $17.95, and it was supposed to be a quart of elephant crap, okay? This was more like a little handful, maybe about 3.5 inches in diameter, because it was mushed flat. So it was almost like a pancake, maybe twice the thickness of a pancake. So whoever paid for this, you spent $17.95 for a quart of elephant crap and $7.95 to ship it. I'm really not sure if you paid tax or not. I'm not sure if this is a taxable item. Or if you live in the same state where this was sent out, there's really no way of knowing now, is there? But the research bitch in me went further, and I checked out to see what people thought of this poopsenders.com. One of the things I found was a complaint. It was on a forum board somewhere about this guy saying, this is a total scam because I paid for like a gallon of gorilla shit and it was only like a little handful and it didn't arrive on time and they shipped it really late and I totally got ripped off and I don't think it was shit anyway. Unfortunately, I was completely unable to find a Yelp review. Because I could have added my own review about what it was like to receive the Ziploc baggie with a handful of supposed elephant shit in it that I couldn't even use on my freaking rose bushes. Oh my. And of course there's people who got really offended and called the cops, and the cops said there's really nothing that we can do about it because it's not illegal. And apparently, according to this one article, they aren't actually sending feces. Well, okay, if they're not actually sending feces, they didn't even send me anything that smelled, which was kind of an interesting move. What it really looked like to me was some sort of clay-ish sort of dirt mixed with water and a few things of straw and grass thrown in. That's actually what it looked like. It was very, very strange. So I don't think my sad little rose bush is actually going to get much out of that, sadly. I mean, I was looking forward to the fertilizer effect, you know? And I'm sorry whoever thought ill of me enough to send me this lovely gift. I think you got ripped off, okay? I'm sad to say. But I tell you, it just brightened my whole day because, you know, controversy is fucking awesome. When I'm causing a controversy, yeah, that's when I knew I know I'm doing something right. That's when I'm shaking the bars and I'm waking people up and I'm making them think about things a little bit differently. That's the way that I look at it. So whoever sent it, that's a lovely gift. I don't think it's going to help my rose bush. And I think you got ripped off. So I hate to start my podcast with a tale about shit, but there you go. And I tell you, I really can't stop laughing. It's just, it's been really a fun thing for me. Okay. Oh, and I forgot to tell you guys that it says on the website that included in the bag, like on top of the supposed pile of shit, is supposed to be this card that basically says something along the lines of someone has sent you shit and do you want to know who? And then supposedly you actually would open up the Ziploc baggie, dig in there, turn the card over, and it says something inane like, we'll never tell, haha, www.poopsenders.com. The card wasn't in there, everybody. There was no card in there. So, wow. Whoever owns this business is really got quite the scam thing happening because, I mean, who the hell is ever going to complain? Right? Now, let's get down to a little bit of business here. We got a lot of stuff to cover. So I completely missed Bisexuality Awareness Week. I believe it was September 23rd to the 30th or the 29th, 27th. I'm not really sure. So obviously I really wasn't in tune with that whole thing. And I'm sorry that I missed it because, you know, it's an important thing. At Pegging Paradise, we do have this. We have the aspect of the anal play misconceptions, but we also have a decent-sized contingent of bisexual men who are interested in pegging with their heterosexual partners or with their opposite gender partners. Wow, I think I probably screwed that up, didn't I? Okay, but you get the whole idea. Yes, I talk about bisexuality here at Pegging Paradise, and so I missed Bisexual Awareness Week, but I found a cool definition for you guys, and this is from a woman named Robin Oakes. Robin Oakes is an educator, speaker, award-winning activist, and editor of the 42-country anthology, Getting Bi, Voices of Bisexuals Around the World, and the Bi Women Newsletter. Her writings have been published in numerous Bi Women Studies, Multicultural, and LGBT anthologies. So her definition is, bisexuals are people who acknowledge in themselves the potential to be attracted romantically and or sexually to people of more than one sex and or gender, not necessarily at the same time, not necessarily in the same way, and not necessarily to the same degree. That's awesome. I love that. She's an advocate for the rights of people of all orientations and genders. And her work focuses on increasing awareness and understanding of the complex identities and mobilizing people to be more powerful allies to each other within and across the identities and social movements. So, yes, Bisexuality Awareness Week. I was late to the party. The one thing I do want to add, though, even though it is a little bit belated, is this idea of equal attraction. This is something that I personally had experience with a man that I dated for a period of time. He wasn't really sure what he was, because he definitely was bi-curious. He definitely would like to have sex with men, but he was not romantically connected with men. And there's different words that are coming to the surface to describe these phenomena, because it's not, there's no reason to expect that if you identify as bisexual that you will be attracted to both genders in the same way with the same intensity, just like how Robin Oakes pointed out. And it's not uncommon for men who have relationships with women to enjoy just having sex with men, but not have the romantic connection with them. So, yeah, there's bunches of different ways for it to play out. I'm just glad that bisexuality is getting out and about and up front and in our faces, and that more people are becoming courageous enough to say, absolutely, I'm bisexual. And I especially like it when people of high profile, I mean, I know it's always a questionable thing when actors, actresses, blah, 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 when they start jumping into the mix, they have such an automatic following and they have such a wide audience to begin with that sometimes things that they contribute can be very powerful. And I do really appreciate it when anyone who has a high profile like that and who is in a relationship and married, whether that relationship is of same gender or opposite, when they will correct someone and say, no, I am bisexual, there's an assumption once someone has matched up and is married someone that all of a sudden the orientation is different. The orientation is still there. It's just something that they are not acting on at that time. Or who knows, maybe in their private life they are. But yeah, there's an assumption of the American public to just go, oh, well, that person's heterosexual because, you know, she married the opposite gender. And one of these actresses was great. She says, no, I've always been bisexual and I always will be. So I'm enjoying that, enjoying the exposure that bisexuality is getting. And I'm with Dan Savage. I would love for more people to step right out there and talk about it, if that is indeed their orientation. Okay, let's see. This is something that was written in by one of my readers about somebody in the last podcast who was looking for inexpensive toys. To the gentleman who is looking for something inexpensive for his own enjoyment, I'd suggest looking at the Tantus grab bag offers on their website. It's the same quality gear they offer elsewhere, but with a deep discount. Granted, you don't get to choose the color, but that's not usually an issue for most. Just thought I'd pass along the suggestion. Definitely appreciate that, and I totally agree. The Tantus grab bag is an awesome place to get cheaper versions of their lovely silicone toys. What it is when they switch the molds and they're going from one color into another, they continue to make the toys with the machine. But those toys are often very strange colored. Sometimes they're beautiful, and sometimes they're really a little odd. I've purchased from there before, but that's a great inexpensive solution. Thank you for that. Okay, here we go. Now, I heard back from one of the guys who wrote in that I read his letter on the last podcast. Thanks, Ruby. Just heard the podcast. Just wanted to clarify for you. We always use condoms on the dildos and are extremely clean. Big stickler for both of us. Our present strap-on is close to 9 inches, but the insertable is about 1 inch or more less, so close to 8. The dildo itself stays one size until it gradually widens near the base. So my thoughts are that since I really enjoy her close and deep inside, the extra width would stretch me more, forcing more contact with my prostate. What do you think? I find I have less trouble accepting the longer dildo than a shorter one. I surmise that because the width was larger, it opened me more inside. This has really produced a quandary for me why a shorter one would be more uncomfortable in certain positions. But thanks tons. I'm going to try contractions. When I heard that, I thought about it, and actually I do that on occasion, and it does feel pretty good. I just don't maintain it. Lazy, I suppose. Okay, and my response to this is, you know, the extra width absolutely does indeed contact the prostate more. But perhaps the discomfort wasn't from, it was from not yet being able to smoothly accommodate that increased width. That's a possibility. Another one is that the shorter one is too directly contacting your prostate, and it's uncomfortable because you have a sensitive prostate. Different guys have different sensitivity with their prostate. Some, it just takes a little bit, and others, you really have to get in there and put some pressure on it. So with the, you know, it's kind of like this. With the longer one, it's more of a drive-by. And with the shorter one, it might be more of a head-on. So, yeah, that's what I think is going on, but it's really hard to tell. If you do some more experimentation and you figure out the solution to that, then write back and let us know. Okay, here's another one. We recently purchased a Pipe Dreams Real Feel Deluxe 7-inch dildo. It is set up for a harness and has a powerful vibrator. It is dual density, and the packaging claims it is body safe. The price was reasonable and it feels great. I checked their website and it comes in several sizes and in a real penis and more of a smooth style. Worth looking at. This is another person who wrote in talking to the guy who was looking for an inexpensive toy. Okay, Pipe Dreams, bad company, really sucks. The material that this dildo is made out of is TPR, ABS plastic, and PVC. So, TPR is porous. That means any kind of bacteria that gets in those little tiny porosities could conceivably take up residence there, grow, cause infections, that type of thing. You can use a condom over this type, but it really has a certain lifespan because as careful as you are, it's not, you know, it's impossible to sterilize. That's the whole point. So TPR, not so good. PVC, yeah, not so good either. All you have to do is do a quick search about PVC on Google and you will find that it's toxic in a whole bunch of different ways for bodies and for the environment. So, not a good toy, unfortunately. Hate to burst the bubble there, but no, I would not recommend that for anybody to buy. I understand that sometimes people have restricted budgets and they need to buy something that's a little cheaper. So, I get that. But please put a condom on that one and, you know, save your money for something better. Absolutely. Okay. So, early here in the podcast, we are going to jump right into something we haven't heard in a while. I get to play music, you guys. It's pegging celebration time. I know that for all of you couples out there who are kind of on the verge of just about ready to try out pegging, or you guys that are really trying to finesse your way through getting your partner to accept pegging in your bedroom or, you know, on the kitchen table or over the couch or whatever, you get my point, that the pegging celebration time and the music is awesome. This one doesn't actually involve a strap on, but I'm going to play the music anyway because this is how it starts, people. Mm-hmm. Ruby, last Friday afternoon, a surprise early arrival home, sharing a hot shower. I approached the topic with a firm request, laid back on the bed with my beautiful wife between my legs and the Sport Sheets dildo, not the strap on yet, and some lube. What followed was an amazing experience enjoyed by both of us. I'm just so happy we visited your site. There was some months of waiting, but we have started our journey together. Congratulations to you both. And write us back and tell us how the first harness strap-on experience goes. And you guys are a perfect example of my insistence that it's a good thing to take things slow. Not only for her psychological situation of maybe not being ready to strap it on real fast, go from 0 to 60, some are ready for it, a lot of women aren't, but also there is so much to experience, you know? Start with the toys, start with the fingers, eventually get to the strap-on, because there will only be that time between when that concept is in both of your heads and you're both really excited about it, to the point where she is pushing that dildo inside of you and you are coming. There's only going to be that in-between period one time. So enjoy it. Pack it full. Enjoy each little part of it and take it slow. Yay, music. Thanks, guys, for writing in, because it had been a while since I played the music. Okay, this next following thing is a very fun letter that I got. Okay. So many things I would like to share, but so little time this morning. I have thought on many occasions how I might reach out to you and thank you for shedding some light on my wife and I's journey and discovery of sensual pegging. Because I am in a rush here at work, I decided to share with you a quick fax I sent to my wife's work yesterday, showing a side of me that I truly believe is a burning desire brought on by the joy of the discovery and pleasure we seek out together so often lately. Also, the feeling of being wanted and desired by my princess is such a wonderful, mind-blowing milestone. I just can't explain how thoughts of her hover in and around my heart and mind so much of the time. An unpredictable outcome or symptom for this newfound bond we share. After 24 years of marriage, I am finding that I am more attracted to her now than ever. In sharing my silly little facts or business love letter, my hope is to show another side of how sensual pegging can overcome a 47-year-old guy and make him want his wife even more than he could ever imagine. Keep in mind, I am the only one in the office and have no employees. Without further ado, facts title, Distractions in the Workplace. Dear Mrs. L, as the founder and president of this company, I would like to inform you of the unyielding and continuous lovesick distractions that occupy so much of your husband's time here at the office. As one of our top team members here, I am at a quandary as to how to formally address this issue with your husband. His value here is unprecedented, and in no way is his job in jeopardy, but I wish for you to know that your husband, although overly engaged in his duties here at work, his ability to multitask is not what it used to be. His daydreaming is at an all-time high, and his work is piling up around him and his desk, as thoughts of you occupy so much more of his time. I'm not looking for a solution or trying to scare anyone away from anyone. Just a notification that, from what we are seeing here at work, it is very clear to us that your husband is uncontrollably infatuated with you. I am not sure where we go from here, but please know that I will do my best to keep your husband on track here at work, and all I ask of you is to please continue to love him as you already do. He may be getting older now, and not the multitasker of yesteryear, but even with thoughts of you resonating so deeply in his heart and mind, he always seems to get the job done. If anything changes, you will be the first to be notified. Please feel free to call me any time with any questions or concerns you may have regarding your husband's distractions in the workplace. Respectfully, Mr. L. And then this guy signed it, "You rock, Ruby." That is the cutest, and that is a creative and sweet and just heartfelt, amazing way to express what I talk about with couples who have been married for a long time. Bringing pegging into the relationship can often end in this manner, or in something that looks like this. After that many years of marriage, and all of a sudden it feels brand new again, and the infatuation is there, and you can't wait to see each other. Yes, this was lovely to read. Thank you so much for writing in. It makes me smile. You can hear it when I'm talking. It totally makes me smile. Okay, another letter. Hi, Ruby. A while back, I joined a dating agency for married people. While I was there, I chatted to some very nice women, but sadly, they lived too far away from me. What surprised me, though, is that part of my search was in being specific as to what I was looking for in a woman, and interestingly enough, quite a few women were prepared to consider pegging. Of those who were into the idea, some were intrigued by the concept and prepared to give it a go, while others were very excited by the whole idea, seeing it as a real game changer in relationships. There was one who sticks in my mind, but sadly lives too far away to make a relationship work. Quote, she wanted to, quote, take away my male energy, end quote. When I asked her how she would do this, she said that she would make me wear her panties and makeup. I will not hide the fact from you, Ruby. The thought of it certainly sent my pulse racing. Lucky will be the men who encounter her, I'm sure. Needless to say, I directed the women to your website so that they can appreciate what you are offering. Keep up the good work. Pegging is an idea whose time has come. Thanks for writing in. That was, it's nice to know that more women are open to it, no matter what dating site you're on. It's really nice to know because the tide is changing, and I do believe it's true. Pegging is an idea whose time has come. We're hearing more and more about it every day. And every once in a while, if you guys haven't seen it, on my blog, I post up a screenshot of Google Trends. Now, Google Trends is something that you can look up and find out how many times people are searching for a specific term, combination of words, that sort of thing. So every once in a while, I get on there and check out pegging. And as I've mentioned on the podcast before, pegging, the way we define it, is not the only definition of pegging. There's tent pegging, which is this wild horse thing of sticking a pole through a ring that happens in the Middle East. There is memory pegging, which is a method to remember things. There's pegging out the laundry, which I think is more of a European way of talking about clothespins. And there is pegging of currency, where one country pegs its currency to another country's, and if that country's currency value goes up, they raise theirs. So all of those things are in the mix as well, but I can't help but notice that the incidences of people searching for the word pegging are through the roof, and I can't think that any of those other definitions of pegging are the reason. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I noticed correlated, but Google didn't seem to get it because they're not tuned into this like I am or we are, was one of the times that Dan Savage was on the Colbert Show, okay, the Colbert Report. And he mentioned the word pegging, and then it was all bleeped out when he gave the definition of it, right? So, of course, a zillion people went to Google and all the people that were watching the Colbert Report, and they searched it. And it caused a spike. It literally caused a spike the next day and that evening in that time period, right? And they actually, in Google Trends, will put annotations according to certain things, like when one country pegs its currency to another, they'll put an annotation because you can see the spike in how many people are looking that up, right? But they didn't annotate this one. It was an obvious spike in the searches, but it's going through the roof. You know, I'm actually going to go ahead and take another screenshot and put it up with this blog as opposed to a lovely, sexy picture. So, you know, oh well, you'll have another sexy picture soon. But I want to show you about how everybody is searching for the word pegging. This is an idea whose time has come. All right, here's another one. Hello, Ruby. I have listened to you for quite some time and appreciate the advice you have provided to me and others. Since I have first experienced pegging and anal play, at first I would get, I assume, excited. So if my girl would suggest it might happen, I would get the excited anxiety feeling. But if it didn't happen, it would feel as if my anus was clenched internally and wouldn't unclench. It would stay that way for sometimes a day or so. It wouldn't affect bowel movements or anything, and on the odd occasion would develop into hemorrhoids. When this is the case, it is really frustrating because it would take weeks to get everything back to normal. And now I am very aware of feelings down there. Now it seems, when I am under lots of stress or do feel like I might get pegged, so good and bad anxiety for anything seems to trigger this effect. I do not know what to do to unclench when I am like this. Any advice? Absolutely, I have some advice. So here's what's happening. The pelvic floor muscles in the structure of a man are a place where tension is held. A lot of tension. It's very, very common for men to hold tension in their pelvic floor muscles. So this can manifest as symptoms of like what you describe, or it can manifest as hip pain or general hip and groin pain. There's a bunch of different ways it can manifest. So one of the things that I came across recently from a friend of mine was he had some difficult things going on in his life, and he does not have a partner. He is very tuned in to the joy that his ass can give him, to the pleasure that it can bring, and he's quite good at doing self-stimulation. And I showed him all the cool toys. the Enjoy Pure Wand, specifically. So he and I had a talk about the difficulties in his life, and I told him, well, maybe I should just come down there and fuck you until you feel better. And he said, spoken like a true dominant woman. I did not go down there, and he took care of himself, but he actually texted me later, and he said, you know, the Pure One thing had a great session with myself, and I feel so much better. It's really, really true how much stress can center in those pelvic floor muscles. And when you are doing the massage with the Pure Wand in the rectal canal, that's one of the things that you are right there impacting and relaxing. So yeah, prostate massage with the Enjoy Pure Wand, absolutely. That's what I would recommend. And it's an interesting thing, though. I have not heard anyone else describe this, that just the anticipation. And the sort of, it almost sounds like what you're describing is that you just get really excited and you get kind of tight because you're excited about it. Never heard anybody talk about it that way in terms of it being problematic. So that's what I would recommend. You know, if you don't get pegged that night, pull out the Pure Wand. That's what I would suggest, absolutely. Okay, let's see what we have next. Alrighty. This is a letter from a woman who says, I read your Not Fun For Her Yet entry and was wondering if you could help me as well. My boyfriend and I have done pegging before. We both like it. My problem is self-confidence and not having the creative ideas to be dominant. I've always been the submissive type, but I also have been the dominant one when we have had pegging sessions. He tells me he loves it, but I'm sometimes too rough. And he tells me that I'm like a teenage boy learning how to have sex for the first time. It kind of hurts being told that. And I retreat back to my comfortable / submissive shell when I lose any desire to be dominating in bed. I need help. I want to be able to give him pleasure like he's given me. But at the same time, I can't bring myself to do it because I'm now self-conscious about being dominant at all. I don't know what to do. Do you have any suggestions on this problem? Practices, tips, exercises, tricks, anything can help. Okay, one of the first things I suggest that you do is not in the bedroom, not while you guys are having sex or right after you've had sex, but away from the bedroom, sit down with your boyfriend and have a serious conversation with him that you love to do this pegging thing, but you have not had a fucking cock your whole life and you're learning how to use it and you need him to be supportive and encouraging, and that it hurts your feelings when he is critical or he laughs at you and teases you, that it's not okay with you. Explain to him that the learning curve of a woman learning how to use a strap-on is through the fucking roof. Or let him listen to this, you know? because that is exactly what's going on. We don't know what in the hell we're doing when we first start. You can read and read, and you can have, you know, this vision in your head of what it's going to be like, but you never really know until you get there. And in a way, it's just as, it can be just as anxiety-filled and filled with uncertainty and a lack of self-confidence as he was the very first time he fucked a girl. So, yeah, that's what's happening here. He needs to know that. And let him know also that you're down with doing this and you're down with trying to fill that dominant role when you're doing the strap-on stuff with him and the pegging, but that you need his support and his encouragement. And even if he has ideas, that would be better. For example, there's so many different ways you can be dominant, okay? It sounds like what you want, and, you know, if I'm wrong, then excuse my assumption, but it sounds like what you want is you want to give him what he wants, because there are a bunch of different ways to be dominant. So if you can at all get him to be specific about this, it would be awesome. If you can get him to tell you exactly what he envisions when, you know, he sort of, whatever, he's at work and he's thinking, oh, tonight's the night she's going to peg me. And he's got this vision in his head of how he would love for it to go. It's great if he could get specific with you about that, because then you've got the information you need to try and figure that out for him and to bring it to life. Because who knows, he may want words, he may want actions, he may want to get thrown around a little bit, he may not. He may want to be blindfolded, he may want to be tied up. See what I mean? There's so many different ways to be dominant. So it's not like this magic formula, it's a dance that you two are going to have to do together. So communication, which is like, you know, the answer that's the answer most of the time. It's not the only answer, but it's a part of just about every piece of advice I give here at Pegging Paradise is communication. That way, you know what he wants. And also, that way, he knows how you're feeling about this. I can hear in your words how you kind of got crushed. And I would have too, you know, especially to have somebody sort of laugh at me and say, hey, you're kind of like a teenage boy. Well, yeah, no fucking shit. That's because that's exactly what you are. And how would he have felt if when he first fucked a girl, she went, Jesus, you're just like, you know, fucking brand new at this. You don't know what you're doing. So I don't think he probably said it that meanly, but you get my point. Now, let's see. As far as any suggestions and practices, tips, exercises, things like that, what I would suggest is a book that I have read that I thought was pretty helpful, actually, on sort of getting a handle on what dominance is and can be. And it was very helpful when I realized that I had dominant leanings. And that book is The Loving Dominant by John Warren and Libby Warren. And there's another book that's actually quite good. And that one is The New Topping Book. And the authors for that are Dossie Easton and Janet Hardy. Both of those are awesome books and will give you a fair amount of ideas and, I don't know, just sort of help you embrace whatever it is that you're comfortable embracing about dominance when you two play together. And okay, when I mentioned the communication thing, that doesn't only happen beforehand. This is an adventure, and so when you try something new, it's not always going to work. Sometimes it'll be fabulous and amazing, and you'll both get done and go, holy crap, that was fucking awesome. And other times it'll be like, yeah, that one wasn't working, you know? So it's important to talk afterwards, too. Even if it's not afterwards, like right after sex, because sometimes, you know, you're going right to sleep, you're both tired, it's awesome, and you go to snooze land. But to have a sort of a debrief, even if it's the next day during dinner or whenever you have time, and talk about, so how was that for you? And when you have those kind of conversations, it's important to speak from the I perspective. So as opposed to your boyfriend saying, you were like a teenage boy, for example, a more clean way to communicate that would be to say, I felt like you were a little bit rough, and here are some ways where it would be a little easier on me and not so rough, and I think I would enjoy it more. When you stick to the I statements, it sounds a whole lot less accusatory and blaming, and you don't want to bring those elements into your communication about this lovely thing that you're, this adventure that you're having in your bedroom, or over the back of the couch or on the kitchen table. I always have to put that in there. So yes, that is pretty much the advice I have for you. I can give you a few examples. I had an experience recently with a young man who wanted to experience dominance. He came into my room. We talked for a little while. We'd already had a few dates, and he was really eager to experience dominance. So I went to go get us both big glasses of ice water. And when I walked out of the door of my bedroom, I looked at him and I said, "When I get back, you need to be naked." So there was that. There's so many different ways to be dominant. There really are. And I think some of them are going to appeal to your husband your boyfriend, and some of them aren't. Just like some of them are going to appeal to you, and some of the other ones you might not want to do at all. So talk about it, have some fun, and take a deep breath and know that that learning curve only lasts so long. And when you start to get really good at it, wow, it is the most amazing thing. And then you're going to be writing me letters like that couple that's been married for 24 years and he's freaking out because that's all he can think about is his wife all day. Okay, have fun with it and good luck. Now, before I let you guys go, I want to talk to you about a new lube that I found. I told you I was going to try this out when I came back from the anime show and the adult novelty manufacturers expo, and it's made by Slickwood, which is my favorite company by far. They put some only good stuff in their lubes. It's awesome company. And we checked with the company and sent an email and asked, you know, what about anal use? Because they do make a lubricant that is anal specific, and it's water-based, and it's called Sassy. And I've used that, and it's okay. It's got a nice clear gel, so it has some heft to it. But it does seem that you have to reapply it a little more often than I would prefer. So I was looking for something with a little bit more emollient texture, okay? So we wrote to the company, and this is what we got. In response to your question pertaining to a lube with a more emollient texture, I would recommend our Slickwood Naturals Silk or Organics Silk. The reason being, it is a hybrid of our water-based and silicone, yet the ratio is the big differentiating factor among the masses that also offer a hybrid formula. Ours is approximately 88 water-based to 12% silicone. So even for those that are somewhat sensitive to silicone, we have found most are able to tolerate it and even prefer our hybrid. The combination of the two formulas results in a creamy, lotion-like texture, and with the 12% silicone infusion, it is able to lock in moisture, so much so that many medical professionals treating cancer patients will recommend our silk products to use as a moisturizer to lock in added moisture following a shower or bath. So that's the email that we got back, which has some great information in it, and I was eager to try it. I did get the chance to try it the other night, and I have to say, wow, it's kind of like, I feel like, you know, the angels were singing, kind of. You know, I don't want to get, what's the word? Sacrilegious. That's the word I was looking for. I don't want to get sacrilegious talking about using lube while fucking a guy in the ass with a strap on and the angels were singing. But that's what it felt like. And it felt like that because it's like, this is the lube that I have been looking for. You've heard me talk about lubes before, and I've had a request to do a show about lubes, you know, but man, there's a lot there, and here's what it felt like. There's a lot of information there that it takes time to research and relay, and there's not a lot of perfect lubes. I kept looking for the perfect one. I found some great ones, and then I found out that they had bad stuff in them. And I used them I would have the experience of using them a whole bunch of times, and all of a sudden I would get a guy who would be very sensitive to it. And man, if that doesn't ruin your play, like, immediately. I used to use Maximus, and that has parabens in it. That's all you have to do is put it in one guy's ass and have him go, whoa, whoa, that's burning. And all of a sudden, play is off the table for the night and he's rinsing out his butt. And wow, that went wrong real fast. So I don't even want to take the chance anymore of using that, even though the vast majority of men that I used it on, no problem at all. And it sounds like there's, you know, as I hear myself say this, it sounds like there's all these numbers of guys. And I know that's one of the questions that y'all tried to get me to answer when I was the Ask Me Anything episode that I did not too long ago. And it's still none of your fucking business. But I realized that when I said it that way, oh, and all the guys before, nobody had a problem with it. Yeah, there weren't that many, believe me. So, okay. Enough of my little spasm of slut-shaming myself there. I'm going to take a deep breath and move right on. I have been wanting to find, now that I know the ingredients that should not be in lube and why they shouldn't be in lube, I have been wanting to find the perfect lube for strap-on play, for anal. And I've had people tell me, well, just use a silicone lube. And there, you can use a silicone lube for silicone toys as long as the lube is excellent, like Uber Lube is excellent. And the toy that you're using is a platinum silicone. You can use those together despite the long-held belief that you cannot use silicone lube with a silicone toy. Why people said that before is because the silicone lube was not high quality and or the toy was not high quality silicone. So if you've got some contaminants, so to speak, in there, then it's a bad deal. And yes, you're going to ruin your toys because they're bad toys or the bad lube. Anyway, so I tried using Uber Lube and it just is so not right for anal. I just can't even begin to express it. Now, some people I think like it, but for me, what happens with silicone lube is it's this invisible coating that's slick and that's all it is. There's no emolliency, there's no creaminess, there's no heft to it. You can't really see it. And it just doesn't work for me. And it has not worked for my partners either. Didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. Didn't like it for jerking off either. So I don't know. So I've been looking for that boy butter-ish type of thing, because that's another lube I thought I liked a long time ago. Well, not that long ago, but, you know, a ways. Because boy butter has that creamy emollient texture. And then I found out it had a bunch of crap in it. So here we are to the present moment. I tried out the Sliquid Silk. And it's awesome. It's totally awesome. I barely had to reapply it. I reapplied it one time. I'm guessing on the amount of time that I spent fucking this young man, I think it was about a half an hour. And I reapplied it once. So yeah, not a problem. This is pretty amazing lube. And I highly recommend it. So I'm going to put a link to the lube, you know, give it a try and tell me what you think, because I think it's just the best thing since sliced bread in the world of strap-on play lube stuff. That was just like the most awkward sentence ever, but you get my point. The angels sang. Yes, indeed they did. Okay, I think we're going to leave it there for this podcast. I have more news, but I'm going to put it in the next one. And let's see, I'm going to have for you the screenshot of Google Trends for the word pegging. I'm going to have the link for the Sliquid Silk. And by the way, you heard me briefly mention in that email about how this does come in an organic formula as well. So for those of you who really, really like all your stuff organic, you can get the Sliquid Silk in organic. It's totally awesome. So there's two choices there, the regular and the organic. I'll have the links for those. And you know what? Just because it's the best freaking toy ever, I am going to put the link for the Enjoy Pure Wand up there one more time because it totally rocks. I can't recommend that toy enough. It seems like it comes up once a podcast, right? So if you don't have it, you ought to have it. Totally, you ought to have it. And then let me tell you a little blurb here. EnticeMe.com is your source for the highest quality non-toxic body safe toys. And that is where you can get this lube. You can get it other places too, but when you buy it through enticeme.com, you're supporting my work and bringing the world the whole concept and good news about pegging and to spread the word and be your beacon of light regarding strap-on play. You support my work, absolutely. So let's see. Oh, and if you click the link and you go through and you get some stuff, please remember to use the coupon code RUBY and get 20% off your order. Plus, any order over $100 ships for free. So, otherwise, it's the usual. You can leave your questions at 805-500-6544. You can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page that would love a thumbs up. You can subscribe to my blog, which has sexy pictures and things that never show up in my podcast. And my podcast is available on iTunes. I would prefer that you not listen to it directly from my blog because the servers are threatening to shut me down when I post a podcast and everybody listens to it from my blog. But we've talked about that in previous podcasts, so hopefully y'all are up on getting your podcast apps and doing it in a way that doesn't overload my server until I can take that next step as a sex educator and kick up my income and afford that server that will let y'all listen and stream as much as you want. And that's coming. That will be coming. Let's see. You can send your questions and stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com. Or if you want to go to my blog, you can click the Write Ruby links at the upper right of every page of my blog. And you know, again and always, thanks for listening. And thanks for downloading. And happy pegging.